Unsteadily, his heart beginning to pick up speed as his senses became unnumbed, he got to his feet. Others were rising, too. Many had faces which were slack or congealed with an icy wonder. Some looked fearful. Their eyes were wide and rolling, their chests rose and fell swiftly, their breaths hissed out. Some were shaking as if an icy wind had swept over them, though the air was pleasantly warm. The strange thing, the really alien and frightening thing, was the almost complete silence. Nobody said a word. There was only the hissing of breaths of those near him, a tiny slap as a man smacked himself on his leg, a low whistling from a woman. Their mouths hung open as if they were about to say something. They began moving about, looking into each other's faces, sometimes reaching out to lightly touch another. They shuffled their bare feet, turned this way, turned back the other way, gazed at the hills, the trees covered with the huge, vividly colored blooms, the lichenous and soaring mountains, the sparkling and green river, the mushroom-shaped stones, the straps, and the gray metallic containers. Some felt their naked skulls in their faces. Everybody was encased in a mindless motion and in silence. Suddenly a woman began moaning. She sank to her knees, threw her head and her shoulders back, and she howled. At the same time, far down the riverbank, somebody else howled. It was as if these two cries were signals, or as if the two were double keys to the human voice and had unlocked it. The men and women and children began screaming or sobbing or tearing at their faces with their nails or beating themselves on their breasts or falling on their knees and lifting their hands in prayer or throwing themselves down and trying to bury their faces in the grass as if ostrich-like to avoid being seen or rolling back and forth barking like dogs or howling like wolves. The terror and the hysteria gripped Burton. He wanted to go to his knees and pray for salvation from judgment. He wanted mercy. He didn't want to see the blinding face of God appear over the mountains, a face brighter than the sun. He wasn't as brave and as guiltless as he had thought. Judgment would be so terrifying, so utterly final, that he couldn't bear to think about it. Once he had had a fantasy about standing before God after he had died. He had been little and naked and in the middle of a vast plain like this, but he had been all alone. Then God, great as a mountain, had strode toward him, and he, Burton, had stood his ground and defied God. There was no God here, but he fled anyway. He ran across the plain, pushing men and women out of the way, running around some, leaping over others as they rolled on the ground. As he ran, he howled, "No, no, no!" His arms windmilled to fend off unseen terrors. The cylinder strapped to his wrist whirled around and around. When he was panting so that he could no longer howl, and his legs and arms were hung with weights, and his lungs burned and his heart boomed, he threw himself down under the first of the trees. After a while he sat up and faced toward the plain. The mob noise had changed from screams and howls to a gigantic chattering. The majority were talking to each other, though it didn't seem that anybody was listening. Burton couldn't hear any of the individual words. Some men and women were embracing and kissing, as if they had been acquainted in their previous lives, and now were holding each other to reassure each other of their identities and of their reality. There were a number of children in the great crowd. Not one was under 5 years of age, however. Like their elders, their heads were hairless. Half of them were weeping, rooted to one spot. Others, also crying out, were running back and forth, looking into the faces above them, obviously seeking their parents. He was beginning to breathe more easily. He stood up and turned around. The tree under which he was standing was a red pine, sometimes wrongly called a Norway pine, about 200 feet tall. Beside it was a tree of a type he had never seen. He doubted that it had existed on Earth. He was sure that he was not on Earth, though he couldn't have given any specific reasons at that moment. It had a thick, gnarled, blackish trunk and many thick branches bearing triangular, 6-feet-long leaves, green with scarlet lacings. It was about 300 feet high. There were also trees that looked like white and black oaks, firs, western yew, and lodgepole pine. Here and there were clumps of tall bamboo-like plants, and everywhere that there were no trees or bamboo was a grass about 3 feet high. There were no animals in sight, no insects, and no birds.